so unique how God created things. God created the church, the body of Christ, to be very spiritual. But also, it may be more particularly so, very, very physical. May your will, O Lord, be done on earth as it is in heaven. I suppose it's true that a person can be so spiritually minded that they're of no earthly good. That the reality of having a relationship with God is not simply personal, but it's expressed to God and to the world around us. So the church is physical and it's spiritual. And our individual bodies, obviously, are physical, but also very spiritual. It's just in the past few years that this thought has overwhelmed me that when a baby is born, that baby came into this world as a physical being and a very spiritual being. Part of God is put into each one of us even before we were born. God said that he knew us before we were born. He knew us as we were being knit together in our mother's womb, because part of God is inside of each one of us. Talking about the Holy Spirit of God is the one who lives in us, as well as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Paul the Apostle speaks often about the Holy Spirit, but Paul does not give us a complete list of what the Holy Spirit does, because no one can give us a complete list of what the Holy Spirit does. There's a mystery to him as well. Paul does not talk about a complete list of what God does, because no one can give us a complete list of what God does. Paul does not talk about a complete list of what Jesus does, because no one knows a complete list of what Jesus does. And try to define them, the Godhead, as individualistic is difficult, because they all are connected. But it's like in our own families. Try to separate individual members of a family, and I guess you can do that, but when the family is in love with one another, it's so intermingled that it really is a reflection of the divinity of God that he put in us even before we were born. I want to talk a little bit about the church being a body, our individual bodies, and how we use both, recognizing what the Spirit of God does in both. The church really is a body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 14 is this wonderful description. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Holy Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And then in verse 27, he says, now you are the body of Christ. Is he talking about the church, or is he talking about individuals? And the answer is yes. Yes. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. It's amazing what God thinks of us by allowing this to take place. So when we're born, we obviously have a physical body, we have an intellect, we have emotions, but there's something else we have. It's the Spirit inside of us that connects to God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. And our bodies are important to God. Let me just stop for a minute. I don't know about you, But sometimes we think of the church as being so deeply holy and spiritual, which it is. But we don't think of our bodies that way. And Paul, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they don't separate that. They say your body is an image of God. What is a body for? A body is to be indwelled by God. And the Holy Spirit does this. Now, it's true. We can quench the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can say to God, I'm not interested. We can say to God all we want, I don't believe in you. And I think Jesus would respond to that by saying, I know, but I believe in you. You may not believe in me, but I believe in you. And when you try to push the Spirit of God out of your life, I suppose it can happen. But there's one thing about God's Holy Spirit. It's always nudging, always bringing us closer, always wanting us to know that there's more to us than us. And it's to bless each other. It's to bless the kingdom of God, the will of God being done on the earth. What are bodies for? They're to be indwelled by God's Spirit. The fact of the matter is they are, right from the very beginning, part of God inside of all of us. And so Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Well, is he talking about the church or is he talking about the body? Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Oh, yeah? We think we are. You're not your own. You're bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So he is talking about the body of Christ, the church. And he is talking about the body of Christ, our individual bodies. There's so much more to us than our church body, and there's so much more to us than our individual body. I want you to go deep with me for just a couple of minutes. Some of you would say, Don, you're never deep, which is true. But I'll share some of these things and try not to be too emotional about it. Because I missed this for years. It's profound in what Paul is saying to us about what God is doing for us and in us because he loves us this much. In Romans chapter 8, one of the great chapters dealing with a number of things about the new creation, the new heavens and the new earth, but he also talks about the Spirit, and he also talks about what the Spirit is doing in our lives. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, in my mind, one of the pivotal scriptures, in regard to the Holy Spirit in us, he says this, Romans 8 verse 11, and if the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, and if the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead. Stop. So remember when Jesus died, he was buried, and then he was raised on the Sunday morning. How did that happen? Well, God did that, yes. Paul is more specific and said, that's what the Holy Spirit did. And if the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, and if the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. And for many years, I ignored this passage of Scripture that reminds us we are not our own. And the Spirit of God is always nudging us to move closer to God and to have an eye for one another so we can be an encouragement to them because of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. He's talking about the church, and he's talking also about our individual bodies. And then 14 to 17 of Romans chapter 8. For those of us who are led by the Holy Spirit of God are the children of God. The Holy Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Rather, the Holy Spirit you received brought about your adoption as children of God, sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father, meaning a very close personal relationship with God. And someone says, I think God is too holy for me to be that close to him. And God is saying, yeah, but I put part of me in you. I want to be close to you. And if I, who made you, want to be close to you, I beg you to be close to me. It's called Abba, close. We used to say this means daddy. Well, maybe that works, except maybe some of us didn't have great daddy experiences. I did. I had great experience, but maybe some didn't. It's just, it's referring to this closeness with God. And if you didn't have a great relationship with your father, it's the Holy Spirit that's creating a great relationship with the Father of all, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Father, he says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. In other words, it's God's Holy Spirit who keeps reminding us. It's the Holy Spirit who keeps reminding us. It's the Holy Spirit who keeps reminding us that we belong to God, that we are God's children. Not maybe someday, we are God's children. God said, I put part of me in you even before you were born, and you still have it. And it can be brought to life. It's a beautiful passage of scripture. And then I want to read something that I think is difficult. We can read it and it can be not difficult. We can read this like nothing and it's not a big deal. But for those of you who have experienced deep, deep suffering, deep suffering, I don't mean an inconvenience, but I mean people who have suffered where you would gladly give your life if it meant that this loved one could live, or whatever it is that you've experienced, that there are no words. So we live in a world where there are multiple languages. I think right here today, there are many people who can speak several languages. But there's a language throughout the world that everyone knows. Everybody knows. And there are no words to it. None. It's called a groan. A groan. It's a guttural sound. And sometimes the world has experienced a deep groan. There are parts of the world, even today, all over the world, where people are groaning. There may be someone in our congregation who isn't here today because they can't be here today, because they groan so deeply. And God's Spirit is all over this. I want to share with you this passage, starting in verse 22 of Romans 8. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. In other words, there are those who are so racked with pain, physical pain, that leaving this world will not be a bad thing for them, and that they'll go and be with God. But all of creation itself is not the way God ever intended it to be. And he is in the work of making it new again. But until that happens, all of the universe is waiting with eager expectation for it to happen. But until that time comes, there can be the universal language of groaning. Paul is helping us to know that there is always more to us than us, and that God is at work in us. So let me wrap up. Paul often repeats the words of Jesus. Paul never for a moment ever thought he was anything special other than a sinner who was brought to God through Jesus Christ. And Paul devoted his entire life to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people don't have to live in fear, they don't have to live in angst, and they can have the Spirit of God living in him. Always, always, Paul referred people to Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit does too. Always a reminder of who Jesus is and how he's the king of our life and how he wants us to serve in the world as he did too. So Paul says something that's pretty unique, but Jesus says it best. So I'll share it with you. This is John 7:38. Jesus goes to a festival and he says this: "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers or streams of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit of God. And for some of you over the years who've been stuck and mired in life by life, and almost feels like you're in a rut and you can't get out, and then someone introduces you to Christ Jesus, and it's like a river comes and removes you from being stuck in that quicksand, and you're flowing now with a brand new life, and you look and I say, I can't believe what God has done for me. And for those of us who've been Christians for a while, we may forget about that. We may forget that streams of living water are flowing. They aren't stagnant. As someone said, you cannot put your foot in the same river twice, because when you lift your foot, water has passed, you put it down, it's a brand new river. The Spirit of God never leaves us alone. He's always encouraging us more and more for one another. So I close with the question. So, based on all of that, what are bodies for? We can separate our body from the spiritual. And when we do, we miss the Spirit of God. What are bodies for? To be indwelled by God. Babies were made indwelled already by the Spirit of God. All our bodies were made to be part of God. But we can not care. We can say, I don't care. We can say, so what? I'm going to push that away. I'm not interested. But for those of us who believe it, how have we treated our bodies over the years, knowing that Christ's Spirit lives in us? And how have we treated other people's bodies? Have we stared, ogled, manipulated our thoughts, where if we knew that God was living in that person, and that as you stare at that person, God is staring in that person's eyes back at you, I don't think we do that anymore. What are bodies made for? They're made to be a reflection of God, never to satisfy our own desires. I can know one thing: bodies were not made for lynching. We drove through Montgomery, Alabama, and Birmingham, Alabama. I don't think I'd have enough courage to go to the museum of the number of lynchings and names of those that they knew who were lynched over the years in the halls. Reminder of what that city used to be like. But I've changed. I know bodies weren't made for whipping or for lashing. And I also know, hearing from this one lady recently, that you know, bodies were not made to be told, go sit at the back of the bus. Go sit at the back of the bus. Your pigment of skin color is different. Go sit at the back of the bus. Rosa Parks. And Rosa didn't. Not because she was being compliant, but she said, as the bus driver got up to remove her, she said, I can't. I'm just too tired. Working day in and day out, ravaging her body, not making enough for even minimum wage, just to survive and be told, go sit at the back of the bus. If we knew that Rosa Parks had God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit living in her, would anybody say, go sit at the back of the bus? Never. We cannot separate the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God. Bodies were made for the glory of God, not to be misused or abuse others. I close with this. The body of Christ, the church in each one of us, it's too special to be maligned. Therefore, it's true. We want to honor God with our body. And we want to honor God with our body. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.